Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. A few weeks ago, I'm not sure if it was July or August, but I spoke on the Holy Spirit. And in that message, just kind of describing the Holy Spirit and his qualities and attributes and kind of how he works. In there, I made a comment of listening to the Holy Spirit or listening for the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother message. So I'm going to attempt that today, how to listen to the Holy Spirit. In my brief research, I found a quote from a mayor. He said, if God is that big, he shouldn't be that hard to find. It's kind of how the world feels. Talking about the Holy Spirit and understanding who he is and what he does is foreign to the world outside. They don't get it. They don't know. They don't understand. They can't comprehend it. But sometimes we also feel that way, that God is hard to find. Sometimes God is quiet, it seems. Sometimes it's difficult to hear God. Sometimes it seems that when you do hear him, you're not sure if it's him or not. So I'm going to try to attempt us to lead us in how to listen for the Holy Spirit. It's not easy. Recognize your mind may wonder a little bit, and there's always a second guess kind of a thing. So I'm praying this morning that we'd be able to connect with God's Spirit and that we'd be able to understand and grow a little deeper in our faith this morning. But the first thing that I thought of when I was thought about God's voice, I mean his voice, is that it's not always recognizable. And even from Scripture, 1 Samuel. In chapter 3, little Samuel, God called to him, and he said, here I am, Eli. And Eli said, go back to bed. And God called him again, and he didn't know. And three times, finally, Eli said, listen and say, God, speak for your servant hears. And so that's what little Samuel did. But he didn't recognize the voice of God. Another time that I recalled that the people didn't know the voice of the Lord was on the road to Emmaus. There was two disciples, and they had an active discussion with Jesus himself. And they didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't recognize his voice. And it got dark, and they were going to go on, and yet they convinced him, to stay with him, and then Jesus made himself known through the breaking of the bread, and then right away the disciples left that same night and headed back to Jerusalem. God's voice is not easy to recognize. It's not always easy to recognize. I wish we could just hear out loud God's voice sometimes. Wouldn't that be nice? I ask why does it seem that God makes listening to him difficult for our human ears? Why is it hard to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? I do have an answer, but it's at the end, so you got to stay awake till then. But why is it hard to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? And speaking of staying awake, though, I did want to point out that in both of these stories, when the voice of the Lord spoke, nobody slept. So in Samuel 3:15, so Samuel lay down until morning. He didn't sleep. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And in Luke 24:33, they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem right in the night. And they found the 11 and those who were gathered around them. And then Jesus appeared to them. And yeah, they didn't sleep. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but it's interesting to note that no one was sleepy when they heard the voice of the Lord. It's going to empower you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to ignite you. It's not something that you're going to go, oh, yeah, that was the voice of the Lord. I'm going to take a nap now. It doesn't happen that way. So In order to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you need to listen for it. And have you tried to listen for the Holy Spirit? Have you tried that? I found that there was an author in my little bit of research that said the voice of the Lord is found in Psalms 23. And I thought, no, God didn't say nothing in Psalms 23. So turn with me to Psalms 23. Because when I read that, I thought, well, no, God is not speaking. And then I read it again, and I listened for the Holy Spirit. And so, in my naivety, but I'd like to do a little exercise, and for you all to join me this morning and listen to what the Holy Spirit may say to you this morning through Psalms 23. So get a pen and a paper. And be prepared if you have something to note. I'm not going to ask people what God says to you. But this is for you to practice the hearer of the Spirit. So in the first verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What is God saying to you? "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters." Do you think a shepherd would be silent in that scenario? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you when you read, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters"? And how does this next statement speak to you? "He restores my soul." "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And what do you hear from your good shepherd when you read this? "For he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And again, can you imagine a shepherd being quiet, walking through this valley? What is God saying to you? "For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If you were able to move from feeling to words, what would Jesus be telling you about this verse? "For your rod and your staff, they comfort me." "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And my question is, what does God say to you? What does this say to you about God? What does this say to you about God? That he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." Again, try and describe how this speaks to you. How do you hear this verse? What is God saying to you? "That you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over." "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I will let you in on a little bit of what I heard in that last verse 6. I heard a promise and a commitment. A promise from God that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. and a commitment from me that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What did you hear? Practice listening to and for the Holy Spirit as you read His Word. This is the primary job of the Holy Spirit, opening God's Word to your heart. That's His primary activity. We often want to know the latest news or the weather or direction when we want to hear from God. We want to know the future. But I believe He has something more and greater in mind. John 14:26. You can turn to John 14. We will be in there very shortly. But John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's teaching and helping us to remember what Jesus said. The work of the Holy Spirit is also found in Matthew 10:18-20, and I'll just read it for you. When you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. This is the work and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. It is to help us understand more and remember more of God's Word. So, in John 14, beginning at verse 13, explains a lot more about the Holy Spirit and His role. Beginning in verse 13 of John 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. But that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And I believe that we have a direct answer to that right here. This is it. The Holy Spirit spoke through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and brought to their mind direct remembrance of what happened, an actual account. And here it is. That's what we just read, and there it is. But I want you to notice the direct reference between keeping Jesus' commandments and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's over and over in John 14. In verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." In John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Brothers and sisters, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives begins when we obey Jesus' commands. This begins as part of a believing faith and a part of a doing faith. Believing in Jesus and obeying. This is the beginning of the Holy Spirit's work. And you can flip with me to Romans 8. Back to Romans 8. Just two verses in there. 14 and 15. You can keep your finger in John 14. But Romans 8, 14 and 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And these verses, I wrote here, I love these verses. This is the third sermon that I've been able to reference back to Romans 8. And it reminds me of what we just read in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And again, Romans 8, 14 and 15. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And it would seem that Romans 8 answers the promise given in John 14. I love that. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do or enable us to do? These are things that we should answer first if we're going to learn how to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice in our lives. So what does the Holy Spirit enable us to do? In John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we see that the Holy Spirit enables us to be witnesses of and for Christ in this world. The Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us to be witnesses for Christ. That is his, again, primary job, if he has two of them. To open the word to us and then to allow us to be witnesses, to helping us to understand and remember God's word, and then encouraging us to be witnesses. I got a haircut this week. It was on Monday. Monday is a good day to get a haircut. They were pretty empty. So it's just me and the barber. And I've been going to this little place. It's across from Palermo's, just down from the Getty, before you get to the Ford dealership there in New Holland. It took me a while, but I sound like a local now. So there's a little place there. It's a local place. And I've been there half a dozen times or so, but you know, I go in there and I sit down and I shut my eyes and I get my hair cut. And I'm sitting there with my eyes shut getting my hair cut, and I get this nudge that I should ask this guy, how has God been treating you? And I thought, what a strange question. I think I could find a better question, but I was like, oh, nope, that was the question. How has God been treating you? So I'm sitting there with my eyes shut going, well, I guess I got to open my eyes and have a conversation. And so I open my eyes, and I engage in a little conversation, and his name's Tristan. He recognized me. He hasn't cut my hair every time, but he's been there every time. So I talked to Tristan a little bit. And then I'm sitting there, and I said, well, okay, here it goes. How's God been treating you, Tristan? He said, good. good, good. He was very happy. He was thankful for his job. He was thankful for, he just got a car, and he's thankful for his girl. He didn't say what kind of girl it was. I didn't ask. He was thankful for his girl, and then he just said things were going well, and he's almost graduated from his barber school. He's an apprentice, and he's almost finished with his graduation, and he was very excited. And I said, "Oh, cool, good." You know, and that our conversation carried on, and it was normal. It wasn't any better or any worse than before. We were comfortable. I said, "Bless you, brother," when I left, and he blessed me, and that was it. And it was fairly normal. I did want to encourage you why I had my eyes shut. You probably wondered that. Something I've done for years, I used to go get my hair cut at different places occasionally, and often it's a lady cutting my hair. And they don't always wear the right stuff. And so I just shut my eyes when it's time for me to cut my hair. And it's a habit I've been for years. And so I still, when I go to get a haircut, I shut my eyes. And I don't know. Sometimes I think they're more comfortable, the ladies. Sometimes I don't know. I can't tell anything. But it's just a habit that I've been into. So anyways, encouragement for you. If you go get a haircut, shut your eyes, okay. If they engage me in conversation, I answer them. But yeah. But anyways. But it was, so my interaction with Tristan on Monday, it was anticlimactic. I was like, okay, so I felt like I followed the nudge. I don't know what else God was having for Tristan that week. I don't know what else God may be doing in Tristan's life. But the point is, hearing and obeying the voice of God can be kind of just regular. It can be normal. If you remember again, that hearing the voice of God in regards to speaking to others is, again, from John 14 and John 15 and Acts 1, this, again, is the bulk of the work of the Holy Spirit. We tend to ask God for other things. Maybe that's why he doesn't necessarily answer us. But then I have to ask, so how do we know the voice of God, and how do we hear the Holy Spirit and know what he wants for our personal lives? So I would have to say that the very first, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all confirmed in the Word of God. And God's voice is based on his unchanging Word. Nothing brought or exposed or defined or made manifest through the Holy Spirit will ever contradict the written Word of God. Amen. That's it. Whether dreams or visions or miracles, nothing from the Holy Spirit will ever contradict the written Word of God. But people can still have dreams. I had a dream when I was 21. I was living by myself, and I had a dream. I met a girl the summer before I turned 21, and I recognized from her that I wanted a wife. I never kissed her, and that was okay. But I recognized that there was a person that I was like, okay, I think I would like a wife someday. Based on my interaction with this girl, someday that could be for me. And so I prayed that wintertime for my wife. Didn't know where she was. But I got a vision, a dream, of someone, of a girl, laying in bed, very modest, cover up to her neck, laying on her side with her long brown hair. And there was my picture of my wife. And I was like, cool. And so I prayed for my wife, and I saw that picture as I prayed for her every night when I was 21. I didn't know that when she slept that way on her side, her foot was on my side of the bed. But anyways, God can still use visions and dreams, but they're never going to trump his word. At the church we used to attend, there was a young woman who was divorced out of an unsafe marriage, and she received a vision that she could remarry. The church leaders said they couldn't refute that claim of a vision. I want you to be careful. I want you to know again that God does not ever contradict his written word in any vision or any dream or any whatever. The Holy Spirit always, always, always abides by the written word. So make sure that you attend a church that places God's word as the only and final authority. It is important. And that's part of the reason I'm here today. Dreams do not trump God's word. Experiences do not trump God's word. Experiences. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 3. One of the all-time great experiences that ever happened on earth is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. One of the, again, all-time amazing experiences that ever, ever happened on earth is recorded for us beginning in Matthew 3, verse 13. And then Jesus came from Galilee to John in the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew 4, verse 1, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The first two temptations start with, if you are the Son of God. And in verse 3 and verse 6. Well, what happened right before in chapter 3? Jesus was baptized and God said, in a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But Jesus did not reference his experience when combating the evil one. He didn't say, devil, don't you remember? Weren't you there? Didn't you hear what God said? If I'm God's son? No. Didn't you hear what God said? Jesus did not refer to his experience. Jesus went back to the word of God. The Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8 and 6, respectively. And this should be our practice as well. Please note that our experience does not ever and cannot ever trump the written word of God. Our experience does not trump this. Satan uses lies. These are his tools. See if you recognize the tools in this box. If lies are a box, these are the tools in it. Uncertainty, doubt, fear, anxiety, the feeling of unworthiness, bringing up past mistakes, shame, envy, guilt. These are the plugs the devil tries to put in your ears so that it's difficult for you to hear the Holy Spirit. These are the plugs the devil tries to put in your ears. Shame, guilt, doubt, fear, anxiety, a feeling of unworthiness. That's the voice of your enemy. Part of recognizing God's voice is knowing when the devil is speaking as well. God's voice is peaceful and comforting. It's not chaotic or unpleasant. That's a litmus test. God's voice is peaceful and it's comforting. It's not chaotic. It's not unpleasant. Turn with me to Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37. Follow along with me in the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. Verse 1 of Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How does that apply to listening for and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? I found a quote from Mother Teresa. We don't often quote Catholic people from here. But a man approached Mother Teresa and asked for prayer so he could receive clarity. And her response was surprising. She said, I will not do that. Clarity is what you are clinging to. You must let go of. You need trust. I will pray that you can trust God. Wow. What do you think? Is that true? Do we just need to trust more? Is it that simple? How many of us long for clarity? Maybe we should be longing for trust. It's hard for me to find fault with that statement. I mean, you can challenge me on it in line. I'm okay with that, but it's hard for me to find fault. Trust him more. That's it. God's voice is filled with love, and his voice brings more confidence in him. God's voice. If you're not sure what you're hearing, God's voice is filled with love, and his voice brings more confidence in him. If you're hearing a voice and is undermining your confidence, it may not be from God, probably not from God. It's undermining your confidence in him, because his voice brings confidence in God, more confidence in God. God's voice most often gives you time to pray and seek wise counsel. It was very rarely hurried or rushed, God's voice. Typically, there is no anxiousness in God's voice. Very few times in Scripture was there something that God intervened and it happened immediately. And Mary and Joseph, a few of those times in there were visions and angels appearing, which I imagine if an angel appeared, that would do it for us too right away. But typically his voice allows us to pray and to seek wise counsel. And typically there's no anxiousness again in God's voice. So back to my original question, why is it so hard to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? I think some of the answer is because we try and use our fleshly ears. These ears rarely and may never hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and yet we try and we try and we try to listen to God with our human ears. We hear the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We are able to listen to God through His Word. I pray that you are able to connect with Him in Psalms through Psalms 23. But that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It speaks through God's words as we are obedient to Him. God's voice is a nudge to speak to a stranger. In John 10, 27, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." We so often want to hear the Holy Spirit tell us to move here or to do that or to date that person, but He so rarely gives that kind of direction. God's eyes are on us in eternity already. And we so often are just stuck looking at our own feet. We are so caught up in this temporal world that we forget that our time is just a vapor. God's plan is so much larger that we can see with our fleshly eyes. We often forget that God's voice is that much bigger than we can hear with our fleshy ears. And when we do hear from the Holy Spirit, it is most often through God's written word as He expands it to us and understands us and helps us remember that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we may get a nudge when we hear from the Holy Spirit that we would encourage someone or that we would witness to someone. That, again, is the workings of the Holy Spirit. But so many times we ask God where we should go and what we should do, but He calls us to obedience wherever we are. So many times we ask God where to go and what to do, and He calls us to obey wherever we are. I'm going to read again from Psalms 37, and I'd like for you to listen for the actions in the first five verses of the psalm. I don't want you to think that in the statement that He calls us to obedience to wherever we are, that we are here twiddling our thumbs because we didn't hear anything. That's not the point. There's action in obeying God and hearing His voice. Look at all the action in the first five verses of Psalm 37. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. For He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Yes, there is times to rest. Yes, there is time to wait patiently. But there's also action. We are to do good, to dwell in the land, to feed on His faithfulness, to delight ourselves in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Not commit your seat to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. It's an action. Something that we should do. In studying for this, I was thinking it might be a little more dramatic, but it again left me a little more anticlimactic. But again, I so wanted to hear from my fleshly ears. And it's rare. It does happen, but it's rare. But when I interact with a stranger, he speaks to me. I feel his nudge. When I read his word, he opens it to me, helps me understand. And those things are so much more valuable than what job I do. But it's hard for me to balance that out because I'm worried about what job I do. But not him. He sees eternally. And I just see today. And God calls us to obedience wherever we are. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again, for your word, that it has become real again to us, that it's been open to us. Thank you that it's been preserved miraculously through the ages, that we have today an account of your life and your testimony and your words and your death and your resurrection. God, we are so grateful for your Spirit, that you desire to dwell with us and dwell in us. Help us to tune our ears to hear you more. Help us to fix our eyes on eternity. Help us to be able to connect with your Spirit and your desire that the world may know who you are. God, I pray that we would receive from you nudges this week to encourage each other, to speak to our neighbors, to spread your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in a closing song?